You realize a lot of times we trust in our ability to follow God. God, I'll follow you all my life. You should ask Him to give you the strength to follow Him. And never trust in your ability to follow Him. Trust in His ability to lead. There's a huge difference. If you trust in your ability to follow God, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to live a Christian life of disillusionment as you fall time and time and time again until finally your trust is so shattered in yourself, you won't even try to be a Christian anymore.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, David McGee continues teaching through 1 Samuel chapter 28. And we have in the studio with us one of his assisting pastors. Welcome to the program, Pastor Neil.
Well, Bob, we're closing out this chapter today, and we're really getting into the heart of the matter, if you will, where pastor's going to be talking about trusting in God's ability to lead and not necessarily our ability to follow. It's not about us, our righteousness, or our holiness, but it's about this holy and righteous God who wants to lead us throughout the day. And as we depend on Him, we recognize Him being a good leader, and it helps us to be a better follower.
Great. So here's David McGee continuing sharing verse by verse as he finishes up 1 Samuel chapter 28.
Chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war, to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, 'You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men.'" Uh-oh. Look at David's words, verse 2. "So David said to Achish, 'Surely you know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever.'" David is making his enemy his friend. And in doing that, he's making his friends his enemies. The Bible tells us that faithful are the wounds of a friend. What it's saying in that is that a friend is somebody that will tell you something that maybe you really didn't want to hear, but you needed to hear. You know, a friend is, you know, maybe you had a huge garlic pasta lunch, and your friend is the guy that hands you some Tic Tacs. "Hey, bro." You know? Or will turn to you and you go, "Yeah, spinach, right between your teeth," you know? It's not something necessarily you want to hear, but because they're your friend, they'll say that to you. They care enough to say that. And oftentimes we can think, well, if somebody's always giving us warm and fuzzies, they're our friend. Well, not necessarily. As a matter of fact, that's a good indicator that they're not really your true friend because they're unwilling to say the difficult things. Be careful what and who you listen to. You know, there's some guys on television, I can watch them, and I always feel good about me after I watch them. That's a little weird, isn't it? Because I'm thinking, I don't need to feel good about me. I need to get convicted, you know, about this or that, the other. Verse 3, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. Now when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servant said to him, 'In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.' So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, 'Please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you.'" Verse 9, "Then the woman said to him, 'Look, you know what Saul has done, how he's cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?' And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.'" Saul is promising a witch that it would be okay. Things have gone downhill. Not only does he promise that, but he says, "As the Lord lives." Do you understand that just because somebody invokes the name of the Lord doesn't mean they're telling you the truth or doing the right thing? Hopefully you're old enough to realize that. Just because somebody uses the name of God on radio or television or the internet doesn't mean they're solid. Just because somebody starts a phrase with "thus saith the Lord" doesn't mean that what they're about to say is from God. Remember, there was a lady prophesying and said, "Thus saith the Lord, the day of Moses and the flood and the ark, yea, the Lord hath made a mistake. It was Noah." Yeah. No, I'm thinking God didn't make a mistake here, honey. Just because somebody uses the name of God doesn't mean that what they're doing or how they're doing it is the right thing. Saul, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you. Verse 11, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. Man, interesting passage. Let's deal with a couple of issues. Saul asked to bring up Samuel. We've already been pointed out twice that Samuel's dead. Now, there's some people that say this whole thing was a farce. I don't think it was. I think this woman was shocked when she saw Samuel. I don't know. It could be that there was some type of... Don't talk to dead people. I mean, let's just go ahead and throw that out. Don't talk to dead people. Don't watch television shows where the people talk to dead people. That's bad. There's good, there's bad. That's bad. Because here's the thing. When you start that, and you know what? And a lot of these guys are con artists. Well, there's somebody named, you know, John. Oh, my husband's name was Joe. His name is Joe. He was a tall man. No, he was short. He was tall in a short sort of way. He had a mustache. No, he had no mustache. But I think sometimes, I think there's something to it. So how does that work if somebody's dead? Here's the problem. Somebody is saying, okay, I want some information. Is there anything out there that can give me information? Who do you think is going to answer that? It's like reading this thing about people who strongly believe in aliens. They gather around a circle, they join hands, and they say, if there's anything out there that wants to speak through us or channel through us, then you can use our bodies to speak through us. Who do you think is going to answer a prayer like that? I think there's something to it. There's a supernatural world. And I think, sadly, the Bible talks about people who deny the power thereof. And I think when the church says there's nothing supernatural to our faith, I think that forces some people into looking into the supernatural in bad places and evil places. To say, well, I want power. I've been built to receive supernatural power. If you're telling me as a church, I can't get power, I can't receive supernatural power, I'm going to go look for it in the dark corners. There is a supernatural power on both sides. God wants to give us supernatural power. Verse 13, and now watch verse 13. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. Apparently Saul didn't see Samuel. The woman saw Samuel. And the woman is probably demon possessed. If you got a problem with demon possession, you got a problem with the New Testament. So your problem's not with me, it's with the Bible. Verse 14, so he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped down with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And the concept there is everybody was in, before Jesus, before the Messiah. Man, it could take a half hour, but I'm just going to leave this real quick. There was a place where the people who believed in God went, and when Jesus died for our sins, he was able to go to that place and release them so that they're in heaven. You no longer go to a holding place. The whole concept of purgatory is not a biblical concept. And the Bible in the New Testament tells us to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. But this is the Hebrew Scriptures. There had not been a perfect atonement through Jesus Christ for our sins. Verse 15, now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I've called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. This whole thing that's going on, do you think this is from God? You think God brought Samuel out? No. How do we know that? Look what Saul just said. God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore. This is not God. There's a very real demonic power out there that you need to be aware of. You don't need to focus on it. You don't need to read all sorts of dark books about what all people have done. Just need to be aware of it. And you also need to understand. No, let's read verse 16. Then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? Why don't you ask God? That's really what he's saying. Saul is unwilling to ask God. Don't go to mediums. Don't go to fortune tellers. Don't call up psychic hotlines. Don't look at astrology charts to see what's about to happen in your life. There is something about us that wants to know what's going to happen around the corner. Part of that can be good. Part of that can be bad. It depends on how it's expressed. God has faithfully told us some of the stuff that's around the corner in this book. It's fascinating. I love the stuff, the study of prophecy. But not all the blanks are really filled in. And I'm okay with that. See, because if you begin to feel like you got to have the answers, you're going to go to other people that will provide those answers, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But here's the thing. Why aren't you trusting God? Why do you need those answers? If you have to have those answers, you aren't really trusting God. Trust the Lord. Trust God. Verse 17, and the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of Philistines. The prophecy is dead on. That doesn't mean it's from God. Again, I think it's demonic, but it's accurate. Again, these things are very real. Saul was trying to approach God for what he needed without really having a relationship with the Lord. He wanted the blessings of God, but he didn't want the relationship. You realize we do that. God has promised us in this book all kinds of blessings as we ask him to forgive us, all kinds of blessings as we give financially to work of the ministry, all kinds of blessings for serving his people, all kinds of blessings for all kinds of things. But oftentimes we go, okay, God bless me. Do you understand? And maybe you're sitting there and go, well, I don't do that. Well, wait a minute. Have you ever asked God to bless you financially when you weren't given financially? Then you've done this. In essence, what you're doing at that point, you're asking God to bless your disobedience. That's what you're doing. Statistics say 54% of most people in the church haven't given anything in the last 30 days. That's an amazing statistic. And yet, those folks get in a financial crunch. God bless me. God's no, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach you something. And Saul, in this place, is trying to receive the blessings of God without following the Lord. And Lord's going, no, I got blessings. I want to bless you. God is a blessing God. That's not the question. Will God bless you? God will bless you beyond what you're able to imagine. The question is, are you going to follow him? See, because his blessings are through grace. But as you follow him, the blessings abound. If you don't follow him, you're hurting yourself. It's your choice. It's your choice. Part of my role, part of my job, pastor, teacher, is to present that to you. Blessings, cursings, what do you want? Life, death, your decision. But here's the thing. You can't go to God and say, well, God, I chose cursings and I chose death, but I want blessings. God's going to say, you know what? It's your free will. That's what you chose. Why are you surprised? Why are you shocked? One of the verses that I get really uncomfortable with, I really don't like on some days, is you know what? You're going to sow what? You're going to reap what you sow. Boy, some days you look at that verse, you go, ooh, everything? Hopefully not. But some of it you will, and some of it I will. Gracefully, not all of it, but some of it. So who are you going to follow? See, because if you choose to follow your own way, well, you're liable to wind up talking to a witch. Or you can follow God and be blessed. The choice is yours. God wants this to be put to each and every person. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20 says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. It's just that easy. Choose life. The life lesson. Choose life. Choose God. Choose His way. You can't say, well, I'm going to choose God, but I'm choosing my way. No, it doesn't work like that. You choose God, you follow God, and God will bless you. And if you don't do that, friend, that is your decision. I can't force you into following the Lord. God's not going to force you into following Him. We're told in the book of Revelation, God is a gentleman. God doesn't kick the door down. God stands at the door and knocks and says, don't do it. Don't go to the witch. Turn around. Don't go to Gath. Many times we do those things and then we go, God, what did you do to me? Why am I in this place? And God says, you know what? I send you so many warnings. I told you so many times and you never listened and you kept on. Verse 20, immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I've put my life in my hands and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat that you may have strength when you go on your own way. What a sad place. You realize a witch is ministering to Saul? That he's gotten to the place that he's so desperate for somebody to love him and somebody to care for him that it's a witch. The choices we make, man. And here's the thing, and I know this, I know that sometimes, and I know it, maybe even tonight, I'm saying difficult things. And sometimes you may think, golly, that sounds a little harsh. Sounds a little heavy, Pastor David. I try to be very gracious, but here's what I know. When I look back in my life, some of the best teachers, Bible teachers and teachers, some of the best coaches are the people who pushed me a little bit, nudged me a little bit. And somehow through that nudging, I was able to dig a little deeper, go a little bit farther. And if so, through an encouragement or a nudging, I can help you along the way, praise God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing for us both to be a little uncomfortable in that. And Jesus is willing to do that. Jesus is willing to push you a little bit. You understand that? He's willing to pull you along a little bit and to draw you along the path. And that's what He's wanting to do with people in here this evening. Now, whether you do that or not, it's up to you. You can drag your heels. You can exercise your free will and say, God, absolutely not. I'm not going your way. I don't want to do it your way. I'll do it my way. That's your choice. Just don't go to God with that kind of attitude and say, God, fix me now. Fix all my situation. God's saying, no, I'm trying to do a deeper work in you. And Saul here seems to be refusing to look at the spiritual imbalance that is in his life and how out of whack his life is. He refuses to look at that. And if you're refusing to look at your life right now, that's a warning sign. If while I'm up here teaching, you're not going, gee, is there something in my life that's like that? If you're not asking that question, friend, that's a warning sign. Verse 23, but he refused and said, I will not eat. So his servants together with the woman urged him and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house and she hastened to kill it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. Your attention, please. You have a free will. God has a way of getting you to a place where you'll listen. But you still have a free will. What you decide tonight is up to you. I can lay it all out for you. I cannot make the decision for you. And I understand. And look, on Sunday mornings at this point, if you don't know the Lord, if you're unsure of your relationship with the Lord, let's talk about that. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, I'm going to give you that opportunity in a moment. You have to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. That's the only way you can be forgiven. Jesus died on the cross in your place so that you could be forgiven. But you have to ask for that. That's an act of your will. Okay, but instead of focusing on that tonight, I've just described that. So if that describes you, there's the opportunity. But there's many in here who have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, but you're still trying to run your own life. That's not what God intended. It's almost like we look to the Lord and say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. I can take it from here. And God says, you know what? You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. And what happens, we try to lead our life, do the driving, we wind up in a ditch. And then when we wind up in a ditch, we go, God, what are you doing? I'm in a ditch. What's going on? Thought you were going to look after me. God says, you know what? I wanted you to let me drive. How about now? No, I know what I'm doing. Quarter mile down the road, boom, hit the ditch again. Thought you never going to leave me. Thought you never going to forsake me. I'm sitting here watching you run in the ditches. I'm still with you. Wish you'd let me drive. Another quarter mile, boom, another ditch. God, I thought you said you were able to keep me from falling. Can. You got to let me drive. All I can do tonight is show you this. I wish, you don't know how often, how much I wish, that I could make a decision for you. That I could come out individually and say, hey, come on, man, take the step. When you think of it, it's really not that difficult of a decision. Blessings, cursings. Life, death. His way, your way. Your choice, your free will. Final life lesson. Trust in God's ability to lead, not your ability to follow. Then follow Him. You realize a lot of times we trust in our ability to follow God. God, I'll follow you all my life. You should ask Him to give you the strength to follow Him. And never trust in your ability to follow Him. Trust in His ability to lead. There's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. If you trust in your ability to follow God, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to live a Christian life of disillusionment as you fall time and time and time again until finally your trust is so shattered in yourself, you won't even try to be a Christian anymore. Or you can trust in His ability to lead. And even in those times when you find yourself in Philistine territory, hanging out with the enemies, you'll realize that God's hand is still outstretched to you and saying, life, death, man. Heaven, hell. Blessings, cursings. My way or your way. You understand Jesus in the garden said to Judas in that last moment when Judas came up to betray Him, He said, friend, why have you come? He gave him one last chance. And Judas blew past that chance. Don't do it. Don't do it. The awesome thing is, you're here tonight, you're in here, you've heard this message, guess what? You got another chance. Whether it's your second chance, 80th chance, 490th chance, here's your chance. To realize that perhaps in your life you haven't been trusting God, you haven't been following God, you haven't been choosing Him. All that can be behind you. All that doesn't need to matter anymore. And in a couple of moments, for some of you, it won't. 15 minutes from now, your past of some of the people in here, gone, erased, washed away. That's what's before you. Some of you, sadly enough, will decide you don't want it. You don't need it. You don't want to choose it. I hope you get another shot, but I can't promise you that. This was Saul's last shot. He didn't take it. Now, forever, his life recorded in this book as a failure. I don't want to go down like that. Friend, I don't want you to go down like that. The decision is yours.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.